Welcome back to another episode of the Extreme Analysis Podcast, your one-stop shop for all things competitive in the world of Warhammer 40,000. My name's Eric. With me is my co-host and birthday boy, Ray.
Hello.
Yep, Ray's turning another year, another chapter. Do you feel older and wiser this year?
Definitely one of those.
Okay, awesome. So we will have a quick birthday greeting right here for you.
Happy, happy birthday to you. Happy, happy birthday to you. You're good to grow, so count the candles and blow. Happy, happy birthday to you. To you, to you. Happy birthday! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday!
So I hope you enjoyed that, Ray. So we have lots of news to cover. We actually have two tournaments to talk about, although one of them didn't, actually neither of them really hit GT level. We just want to touch on those. But we've been monitoring over the last 2 weeks some interesting developments. Probably should address why we didn't record last week. Do you want to hear my sad story?
Sure.
All right. So you know, remember when you're like in high school and you're like, hey, mom, going out, and she wants more details. And she goes that whole, what happens if you end up on the side of the road in a ditch? And you're like, what? The chances of that happening, mom? And then like 5 hours later, you're in the side of the road in a ditch. And you're like, well, I can't call home. I hope Raymond's awake. Maybe he can bail us out. So I kind of did that to my parents. So they said, hey, we want to come over today. Mom's getting really cooped up. And my mom is 8 days removed from having total knee replacement surgery. And I'm going like, oh, well, how's the car running? Oh, it's fine. I got the tire fixed. Oh, how'd you get it fixed? Well, I took care of it. I'm looking at my dad. You fixed the tire? Is that something you know how to do? I mean, he's a very accomplished mechanic, but replacing, you know, patching a hole in the tire, that's not usually something you do at home. So I'm kind of like, all right, is it really safe to be driving mom around on that tire if you haven't tested it yet? Especially, you know, it's 170 degrees out here in Phoenix, and she's just off of surgery and all that, so she's not exactly that mobile. Yeah, you'll be fine. Okay. 15 minutes before recording time, I get a call. Yeah, I'm at the tire place. I was wondering if you can come by and pick us up. Like, are you kidding me? And then he didn't even come home. He was haggling with the tire guy. Because he's like yelling at him because, of course, the tire guy, because they went to like the worst tire place in our local area. So not only will they not patch it, they would not sell him a single tire. They would only sell him a pair of tires because that's the safest thing to do at this point. Meanwhile, my mom is just irate because not only is she, you know, walking around with this walker trying to keep her balance, because of COVID, there's no waiting room. They're making people sit outside in a tent. So in the 117 degree heat. So we're like, all right, let's, yeah. So it was just like, okay, I don't think we're recording in the next 15 minutes. So I apologize profusely, but welcome to the sandwich generation. You're raising kids and you're raising your parents at the same time. Mm-hmm. Awesome. That's why I moved to Phoenix. But anyway, yes, let's get to the heart. And I've been dying all week to talk about this. And it's kind of perfectly timed that we didn't record last week because GW actually put out an official announcement about this. So we can actually talk about this as opposed to for our nefarious sources. But one of which we just got moments before recording. So all you Tyranid fans, you might want to hold on to your seats. Let's start with the official channel stuff first.
Yeah, let's do official first.
All right, so for those of you who don't have no idea what I'm talking about, GW has graciously started putting an 8th edition, putting the stats in the books when you buy models. Well, if you've gotten any of the models with the new logo and the new packaging, the stats don't match what we've seen in the past. Not like a piece there, or the Strength 65 Shuriken Cannon from a Death Jester. We're talking major overhaul to classic weapons. Case in point, the Heavy Bolter. That's right, folks. The venerable Heavy 3 Strength 5 is now Damage 2. It has a few other upgrades as well, so it is mysteriously changed. So they've brought that up on their web post. So it is Damage 2. Flamethrowers, as well as heavy and regular, as well as diet, are now range 12. So that's a big deal, because remember when you come out of Deep Strike, you're 9 inches away. So plus with the strategic reserves coming off the edges. So those flamers are now in range upon when they arrive. Very, very scary. How about meltaguns? Remember the old, if you're within half range, roll 2d6, take the highest? Nah, we don't do that anymore. How about if you're within half range, add 2 to your damage. So it's you have potential of d6 plus 2. So minimum of 3 damage, maximum of 8. And the multi-meltas, yeah, they're double shots. Heavy 2, which I'm like, oh, okay. Keeping notes with me? All right, good. There's more. Power swords, plus 1 strength. Bet you didn't see that one coming. And the Space Marine ones with their get the special AP minus 1 in addition to that. So all of a sudden, power sword actually means something again. Excuse me, the chain swords get AP minus 1. I read that wrong. Sorry about that. Too excited about this. They finally fixed plasma weapons. So it's not just a 1, it's a unmodified roll of 1. So if you're shooting at something with a minus 1, such as aircraft or Harlequin vehicles, and you get a minus 1, you're not going to blow up your Dark Angels. So Dark Angels and Plasma Fiends, you are happy to know that it's natural, unmodified rolls of 1 that cause you to blow up. So you're thinking, great, more marine love, being left out in the cold, or I got to wait for like my separate codex to come out. And when does all this happen? Our friend Mike, who, avid listener of the show, always says, when? So the when answer is Space Marines Codex shows up in October. By the way, though, if you have the same war gear, whether you're a member of the Imperium or those Heretic Astartes, yeah, same weapon profiles are upgraded. Sisters of Battle, Astra Militarum, Codex Space Marines, you name it, they all get the same upgrades. Pretty crazy stuff. One more thing we haven't mentioned. What's the new range on bolters now, Ray?
30.
Rapid fire at 15 inches. So somebody's excited to play his Thousand Sons. Just thinking about, I don't know if they're changing the profile of the Arcane to like damage 2 or right. You know, I know it's a very high AP at the moment. So who knows at this point, but just the whole idea of Arcane bolters at range 30 is just, on the smaller board, mind you. So GW throws us a bone for those of us who don't play Imperial Faction. Or power armor for that matter. And it says, we haven't forgotten about you Xenos players. And they talk about, of course, Necrons, which is no surprise because they're the other codex coming out in October. So starting with your Deathmarks. These are the cool one-eyed snipers. Cycloptic snipers. If I was quick on the draw, I should have said that. So they get an extra 12 inches on the range with their synaptic disintegrators. They go from rapid fire 1 to heavy 1. Goes up a strength to strength 5. They're now AP minus 2. Still damage 1. Still do mortal wounds on a 6-2 wound. So, interesting. Another unit that Ray loves and so much, Trioc Praetorians. Want to tell everybody what their quick improvement is? Gotcha.
So, for the Trioc Praetorians, their old stats. This is for the Rod of the Covenant. Shooting range 12, assault 1, strength 5, AP minus 3, and damage 1. Their melee was melee. User strength, which was 5, AP minus 3, damage 1. So it was the same. The new stats are, for shooting, range 12, assault 1, strength 5, AP minus 3. So far it's all the same, but damage 2. Its melee stats are melee, strength user, which, as far as we're aware, it's still 5, AP minus 3, and once again, damage 2.
So all of a sudden, Necrons have an option to start taking down Primaris Marines. Damage 2. Sounds like great. Sounds like a great opportunity. Oh, wait. There's more. So, if you apparently, 2 wounds is. For those who've been doing a lot of math hammer at home and MEQ, yeah, you're going to have to make some changes. Because the MEQ standard has just changed.
Yeah. Why? Because all fully fledged Space Marines will be getting 2 wounds. Now they say fully fledged, so I'm pretty sure
it's
not scouts.
I wasn't sure what that meant. A lot of people were kind of guessing at that one at this point. But all your old Marines just got 2 wounds. And of course, there's going to be a points creep when that happens. We'll get into that in a second. But yes, that also means your Chaos Space Marines will do that. And also your Terminators are going to go up to 3 wounds. No idea if Paladins are going up to 4 wounds. But Terminators are all 3 wounds. All Marines are 2 wounds. this goes into effect when the codex drops in October.
Yeah, so each time the codex comes out, they get the extra wound, and then their points will go up. Don't expect the points to stay where they are right now.
And it says, plan accordingly. The aforementioned tactical marine will clock in at 18 points for its extra wound. It's only a 20% increase, so you get 100% more wounds and for 20% point hike. This is ridiculous. Don't know what the rest of the point values will be, but ay caramba, that just changes things immensely. So it's just one of those you go, you got to be kidding.
So I did something. I wanted to take this point to say something on the podcast. A lot of people were thinking this was a step backwards, and at first I kind of agreed. A lot of people were like, well, the whole idea is Primaris are going to take over because it's going to be more true scale. And at first I agreed with a lot of people who said this was a step backwards, but I actually think this is a much needed step forwards. And let me explain why. The whole idea is that the Primaris are eventually just a space, but the Chaos Space Marines are still supposed to be kind of their counterpart. So what you do is you would think the step would just be to take out the old Marines before making the Chaos Space Marines their equal. But this actually makes more sense, especially for the people who still want to play with their old Marines, is you make them all equal, which in this case means two wounds. And while I don't exactly, you know, agree with the whole making all the bolt guns 30 inches, when it comes to the wounds, it makes sense. You do this, so it's they're all basically the same, and then you just slowly phase out the old Marines, because at this point that means both sides are more equal when it comes to the wounds, and it's not quite so Primaris, not Primaris.
I guess I just kind of looked at it as I thought the whole idea was to make the game faster, and you're now adding more wounds, but it seems like we're also adding more damage. So if you fail a save, you're doing a lot more damage, so you're still picking up models. As a guy who plays a toughness 3, 5-up armor, 1-wound army, I'm feeling a little left behind here.
So your glass cannon army is becoming a paper cannon.
Oh, it's bad. It's just, my little poison darts are just useless. It's terrible.
To be fair, anyway, we don't know how their stuff's going to be changing just yet. If it's going to change, even
we do have a rumor. I do have a rumor to talk about when we get to there. So actually, we'll talk about it now. So yeah, the rumor is the reason why Cabalite Warriors jumped up in price is supposedly that the Inured to Pain, I think it's called, Inured to Suffering, goes from a 6+ to a 5+ feel no pain. And then the other change I've heard, now this is not the most reliable source, so just take this with enough grain of salt to make the Surgeon General think twice, is that poison weapons will change, and you basically have to roll equal to or higher than the target's toughness to inflict a wound. So the idea is that it doesn't make any sense right now that you have a worse chance to kill a guardsman, but a better chance, if you think of their toughness, to kill a demon prince with poison weapons. So if you're shooting guardsmen, you would have to wound them on the 3+, Marines just still wounding on a 4+, and then tougher monsters on a 5+. Supposedly that's what the change is. I'll believe it when I see it. I don't know. But looking at the sheet here, I did find the rest of the Triarch Praetorian stats. They do seem relatively unchanged. 3s for weapon skill and ballistic skill. It's a little blurry on this copy, but it looks like there still remains strength 5 and toughness 5 as well with 3 attacks. So not much has really changed there. Lich Guard also retained their same stat line, and the big Lich Guard, the big blade, Warscythe, is strength +2, AP -4, 2 damage. And then the little swords, or the hyperphase swords, are +1 strength, -1. I think that's -1. Maybe it's kind of hard to read, it's a little blurry. And 1 damage, so more of the same. Other neat stuff. Tomb Spiders got a little tougher. Still toughness 6 with 6 wounds, but now their little forearm things are strength +2, EP -3, 2 damage. So that means they're strength 8 altogether when they attack in close combat.
Yeah, I like that. They definitely need
useful against him.
They're a monstrous thing. They need to be able to kill a space marine in one swing, in my opinion.
Yeah, so that's kind of neat. A lot of reported changes to various dreadnought weapons. See if I can find them here. Redemptor Dreadnoughts, for example, 8 inches, 3+, 3+ in attacks, strength 7, toughness 7, 13 wounds, 4 attacks, 3+ save. a lot of their guns now, for example, the still pretty, like the, what's the big gun? Is it the...
Which one? Are you talking about Gatling gun? I forgot that. It's the heavy on Gatling.
There we go. And you had a cool name. 12 shots, strength 6, AP minus 1, 1 damage. Number 4, some sort of missile launcher thing.
Yeah, like Icarus missile launcher or something like that.
Yeah. 24 inches, heavy D3, strength 7, AP minus 1, 2 damage.
And that's supposed to be more of an anti-aircraft, if I remember right.
Right. So, close combat, they are strength times 2, AP minus 3, 3 damage, which...
Yeah, they've got a giant power
field. Yeah, so it's pretty gross stuff there. So, not sure on the Gatling gun going up to strength 6 is pretty neat, and the added damage is kind of nice as well. And then, the breaking news we got literally as we were coming on the air... Yeah. So, Tyranid fans, you ready?
Make sure you're sitting. So, we got stats leak.
The stats are neat. Yeah, we got a stats leak. So, the first thing is, okay, stats are fairly impressive, right? Why don't you run it off?
Well, let's start off with the fact it says it's for Carnifex. Carnifex is, and so why don't I just do this? I'll talk about the new stuff. You can talk about the older stats.
Sure.
So, we've got the Carnifex.
So, what I'm doing is I'm going right to the app.
Yep.
So those of you app haters, watch this. I go to app, I type in Carn, and there it is, Carnifex, that fast.
Yeah, as long as you don't spell it with a K, you'll get it fast. Otherwise, you're going to go the wrong direction.
I think I'm like a Carn the Betrayer. How'd that happen? Okay.
All right. Yeah, so
those who hated the app on release day, try it again.
So we got movement 8 here.
Yep, up 1.
Ballistic skill and weapon skill of 3+.
Both of those are an improvement of 1.
Strength 8.
Up from 6.
Toughness 7.
Unchanged.
8 wounds.
Also unchanged.
5 attack.
Up 1.
Leadership 6.
Unchanged.
And a 3+ save.
Also unchanged.
Now I'm going to take a second to... This is where your heads are really going to start spinning, because there is a second set of stats for a Carnifex with wing.
What? Now they fly? Are you kidding?
Yes. So I haven't seen a single model of a Carnifex that actually came with wings. So I think it's safe to assume that we're going to see new models, or someone's really messing with it. That being said, it looks fairly accurate as far as the imaging work goes. So if this is the case, someone's really putting a lot of work into it. But anyway, Carnifex with wings, all the same, but movement.
It's not the fastest jump troop, but still, it flies. Yeah. So in the same little diagram that we got here from a leak, we also got a couple weapons to show off.
Yeah, there's only 3 that we can say for certain. One is a ranged weapon, that is the heavy venom cannon, which is showing as range 36, heavy 3, strength 9.
Which is a change from
AP minus 3 and damage 4.
So went from assault D3 to heavy 3, so you no longer have a variable number of shots. And being that, of course, monstrous creatures can still move and shoot without penalty, no big deal. Won't be able to advance and shoot with it, but that's okay. And then the AP and the damage all improved by 1. Because it's coming from the instructions, we don't know if it retains its blast weapon special rules, but we would assume it does.
The next 2 weapons that we know for sure are both melee weapons. One is its version of the Scything Talons, which is, of course, melee. Strength user, which is 8, AP minus 3, and damage 2.
So I actually went down a point on damage, but strength 8. Now you're wounding most vehicles on 3s and 4s, so that's pretty nice. Again, don't know if the reroll to 1 still maintains or the additional attack. We'll have to see when we see the full rules, but nonetheless, I would assume those would stay in the game.
And the third weapon is the Crushing Claws, which are melee, strength times 2, which in this case is 16. AP minus 4 and damage 4.
Let that sink in for a minute. Strength 16. That means you're wounding knights and T8 vehicles on 2s. And everything that bursts through now does 4 damage. Ouch. Suddenly, Carnifexes are more than a distraction. So crazy stuff coming out. So keep your eyes open for other stuff coming out. But I mean, the good news is, as we were kind of talking about this pre-game, is you know, when we first started leaking, I was like, ugh. And then when it got officially announced, I'm like, okay, great. More love for the Imperium. Those of us who don't play those armies got to wait your turn. And how long do we have to wait? It's bad enough we have to wait till October for this stuff to be addressed. what about these other armies? So seeing that Tyranids are now on the radar, starting to get a little excited that maybe this could be coming out sooner than later and not have to wait just for your codex for this stuff to come out. So I am optimistic, but I don't know. So one of the things we put up for discussion, and you guys can join us on our Facebook page here, is are we entering another age of like we did at the beginning of 8th, where you had index armies and codex armies, and there was a huge gap between the two armies. Feeling like, you know, if there's this much extensive, okay, not only are you getting additional wounds, but you're also getting weapons that do additional damage, you could get left behind pretty quickly, right? You disagree with me.
Yeah, and it's because of two things. One, each codex's version of chapter tactics is out still. Those aren't nullified. And the other is stratagems, because back when it was indexes, all you had were three indexes, or three stratagems, whereas now the armies still have access to all the stratagems that they've had from 8th.
And Second Awakenings, if you got those. So, you're not quite as bad. I think you bring up a good point there. I am concerned about some of these, especially if all those Marine players who do still make up 22% of the meta from the last statistics that came out, gaining a wound. But then again, I'm going like, okay, they are going to get a points hike. So I'd be curious to start looking at some of these lists and okay, how many, Marines bodies are actually in their list. And we also don't know, how would they have to take out to stay under the cap. So I'd be curious to find that out. But I don't know. It's all in how it's rolled out. If you have to wait for your codex, are we going to see rapid fire release again like we did last edition? Or is it going to be more of a slower pace? I don't know. We do know from the last preview, and by the way, there's going to be another preview video session this Saturday. When are those models coming out? How are they going to be released? Are they going to be like just simple box sets for just those one or two characters are being released? Is that only going to be released with the codex? We have no idea. So all those make a big difference in how those are going to be phased in. But interesting stuff to bring in there. By the way, one of the things I did mention, we talked about Chaos, we talked about Imperium. Gene Stealer Cults, by the way, if you're using, for example, a multi-melta on your Lehman Russ, you get to use these new stats as well. So lots of new models, lots of new... And so that throwaway comment we talked about last episode that Reese made about, well, the weapon stats are changing. He wasn't kidding. Apparently that had a lot more meaning than he I don't think he meant to say that. So surprise, they're on the internet. So let that sink in a little bit. Do a little bit of your own new math hammer. Figure out what is coming and what you need to do to change your army. In the meantime, we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to hop into the tournament news, talk about some of the current winning lists, and that may also affect your list building decisions for 9th edition. Be back right after this.
Are you a gamer that has more bare plastic than you have time to paint? Do paintbrushes spontaneously combust when you hold them? If either of these is true, contact White Crow Studios and get your models painted by a college-trained professional painter. You can contact Bo at whitecrow.commissions@gmail.com and view his previously painted models at White Crow Studios on Facebook.
Welcome back. Yes, the COVID-19 is starting to lift in a couple of areas of the world. So therefore, we have a few tournaments to finally report on. The first one, probably the biggest of the weekend, was in Wichita, Kansas, otherwise known as the Flying Monkey GT, a perennial favorite. And your top five looks something like this. Colin McDade comes in fifth place with Harlequins. Fourth place, Patrick McKinney with White Scars. Third place, Charles Veliquez with Death Guard. Second place, David Villarel with Salamanders. And first place, a familiar name to the top of the ranks, Dan Sammons with Adeptus Astartes. So first thing I'd like to note, a lot of the playtesters early on said it's going to be really hard to max out scores. Dan racked up no less than his last game, he got 67 points, but all his other games, he got at least 86 points out of 100. I think he's doing okay. So be curious to see as that progresses, if that notion continues. But nonetheless, Mr. Salmon's list looks something like this. He is taking a Salamander successor list with long-range marksmen and master artisans. He has, starting it off with a second, is getting used to 9th edition here, a battalion. There we go. He's got a captain on bike and a Primaris lieutenant. He's got a scout squad of 5, actually 3 scout squads of 5. Then he's got 2 aggressor squads of 5 as well. But interesting, this is the what a lot of people are talking about. He has the Flamestorm Gauntlets. So that's the Flamethrower one. As opposed to the typical Boltstorm one we saw in 8th edition. A recurring trend we will see in all the lists that are of Marines are Blade Guard veterans. They come in squads of 3, and in this particular list, he's got 3 units, 3. So 9 of them all together with Mastercrafted Power Sword and Storm Shields. In the fast attack slot, he's got 2 units of 3 of the Outrider squads. Those are the new Primaris bikes. In the heavy support, he's got a regular Marine Grav Cannon Devastator squad. And another thing that you'll see in almost every list are a trio of Eradicators, 2 squads, so 3 of those. All armed, of course, with the famous Melta rifles that everybody's been talking about. And last but not least, he's got a drop pod, which I'm sure the Devastator squad's going to go into. So what's changed from 8th to 9th? Because a lot of these are some of the familiar faces that we've seen. Still got the scouts. They're going to go out there and force you back into a corner because you can't deploy within 9 inches of enemy units. The captain on bike gets to move around and provide his little reroll bubble. The aggressor squads are a big deal because not only do they the flamethrower thing make the auto hit, their salamanders have some nifty stratagems where they can ignore moving and shooting as well as a +1 to wound. So it makes them quite nasty and just deleting units, especially at close proximity. Just imagine later down the road when they get 12-inch flamers instead of 8-inch. And last but not least, these Blade Guard veterans, they're really just for holding objectives. They're kind of the elite guys that can go out and smash people off the objectives but still hold on to them. They're pretty tough hombres. Same thing with the Outrider squads. They're meant to get to the objectives a little further downfield. Devastator squads, all about the Alpha Strike, and the Eradicator squads, just about deleting heavy units, infantry and or vehicles. So we'll see those guys show up in a lot of lists today. Speaking of which, we'll take a David Villarreal's Salamander. So yeah, for those keeping score at home, first place, Salamander successor. Second place, Salamanders, the originals. And Dan starts off with a, surprise, surprise, a patrol this time around. Primaris Librarian Vulcan Histon. He's got an Infiltrator Squad. That's his lone troop choice. And Scepter Squad, a squad of 5, and a Landspeeder. A Landspeeder Tempest, to be exact. Seeing, you'll see a lot of those as well. They're great for grabbing objectives downfield and collecting secondaries where you need to be, like, whatever the new recon's called and the new behind enemy lines is called. Again, a dual trio of Eradicators to round out the patrol. He has a second patrol, interesting, taking 2 detachments. Another captain on bike, an Incursor Squad. An aggressor squad with, this time though, he went with the Boltstorm Gauntlets and a trio of Blade Guard veterans. He also has the Devastator squad with Grav Cannons and Grav Amps in drop pod, as well as a third unit of Eradicators. And he also threw in an Impulsor to probably cart one of those units around all over the place. So, similar list, same idea. A couple different pieces of the puzzle to make that happen. Charles Valquez had Death Guard, which another one people say is the one of the must-have armies to have in 9th edition. Lucky us. He starts with a battalion of Death Guard, surprise, surprise, Chaos Lord, and a Demon Prince. He has a Plague Marine squad of 10, 2 of them with Flake of Corruption, 2 units of Poxwalkers, only minimum 10 Poxwalkers. I thought that was interesting. The elites, he got a Biolocus Putrefier, a Hellforge Contemptor Dreadnought. He's got 3 of those, and all with twin las cannons, dual twin las and cannons. Fast attack slot, he's got not 1, not 2, but 3. My fifth, the Blight Hauler, so I forgot the, how do you pronounce that? Malefic? Malefic by the, you know. And then in the heavy sports, heavy support slot, he's got 2 Plague Burst Crawlers. And then in the dedicated transport, he's got a Terex Pattern Termite Assault Drill. With flamers. So I'm assuming he's putting the Space Marines in those. Then because everybody talks about him, White Scars, Patrick McElhaney, we'll talk about him real quick. Also rocking a battalion, he starts off with Khan on bike and a librarian in Terminator armor to get your overdue books. And we are, just because you're online doesn't mean those books aren't still due. Assault Terminator, Assault Intercessor Squads. I didn't realize they were troop choices. I thought they were elites. My mistake.
I was thinking that way at first too, but it came out a while ago that there was.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about that. Maybe blocked it out like a terrible memory. Nonetheless, he's got 3 units of 5 of those. He's got 2 units of Centurions. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All armed with flamers, except for the sergeants, which have hurricane bolters. In the fast attack slot, 3 units of 3 Outriders. In the heavy support slot, a Devastator squad of Grav Cannon Grav Amps and a single trio of Eradicators, and as well as an Impulsor and a Drop Pod for the Devastator squad. So, slightly different, same concept as we've seen from the other two Marine lists. So, plan accordingly. T5 is the new black. Just as a sorbet, we'll talk about 5th place. What does the Harlequin list look like these days? Looks something like this. Battalion of Soaring Spite starts with a Shadow Seer, a Troop Master. She's 2 Troop Masters. And one of the new things coming from Psychic Awakenings is the pivotal roles. He did take the pivotal role on the Shadow Seer. So he gave them Shield from Harm as well as the Veil of Illusions. What does that mean to you? You're -1 to wound any Harlequins within 6 inches of this guy. But he took the Shadow Stone to give him an additional 3 inches to his auras and his psychic attacks. So anybody within 9 inches is now -1 to wound. And the Veil of Illusion means you add 6 inches to the range of any units that are within 9 inches of the Shadow Seer. So even with your fancy new bolters, you think, ah, I'm within 15 inches, I'm in double tap. No, sir. You're 21 inches away now. So therefore, you are out of double tap. The first Troop Master is Fusion Pistol and Harlequin's Kiss. Second Troop Master, Choreographer of War, both kept that. That's the reroll wounds. Fusion Blade, Harlequin Blade, Fusion Pistol, excuse me, Harlequin Blade, and Pivotal Role, he gave them Twilight's Grasp, which I believe is the, you attack a unit, you inflict 2 mortal wounds. You don't even have to hit them at the end of the fight phase. And the troop slot, he's got a 4 units of troops. That's what a Harlequin players are. 5 of them, all of them with various weapons. Most of the time he's got, the first one has 5 fusion pistols, no changes to combat, close combat weapons. Second one, 5 fusion pistols, 2 of them with an embrace, that's the -3 strength user weapon. 3 of them with blades. The next one, 5 fusion pistols, this one, but they have 2 caresses, that's the +1 strength, -2 weapon. And then the last one has 5 fusion pistols, 2 kisses. That's the strength +1, but it is D3 damage. And then the last one is another 5 fusion pistols and 2 Harlequins with embrace. And then he rounds it out with 3 units of 5 Skyweavers, those are the jet bikes, with Haywire Cannons and Zephyr Glaives. And of course, he's got Star Weavers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1 for each troop choice. So a Soaring Spite allows him to drive around, advance with those transports, and the pistols count as assault weapons, so he can shoot them after advancing. And those have gone down in points in 9th edition, and they are very much needed with all this heavy infantry, especially with custodes and all these 2-wound marines running around. Last but not least, we always want to acknowledge women in the game, but not like this. Jenny Burton with Zeech, congratulations, you are the Wooden Spoon winner for Flying Monkey GT. She actually, interesting enough, I feel bad for her. One of her games, her first game of the weekend, 81 points scored and lost.
Wow.
That had to hurt. That's brutal.
Yeah, because that's
kind of... I'm tempted to go look at the pairings and see if
you played. Yeah, let's see. 81 points?
82.
Okay.
81, excuse me, yes.
So... Hang on. I'm just going to take a wild guess and assume she had the 10 points for fully painted.
She lost to Isaac Johnson, who scored 97 points. That's crazy. That's round 6. Sorry. Hold on. Let's go back. Bearings. Round 6, round 5, round 4, round 3, round 1. We're a professional podcast here. She lost to Eric Phillips, scoring 92 points. That's a high-scoring game.
Yeah.
And Eric was playing White Scars. Gadzooks.
So let's see, we're looking at probably both sides had 10 points for painted, which means we're looking really at like a 70 to 80, 72 to 80 something points. I'm guessing she maxed out on secondaries, he maxed out on primaries. Granted, this is, we now live in a game where you each side can max out on both depending on time. I think on time. No, wait, hold on. They can't both max out each turn. There's two rounds where, wow, now I really have to think about this.
Yeah, you can max out.
But both people can't.
Yeah, you can max out because let's say.
Because one of them is having more than the opponent and you're doing it for four rounds. That means for three
you
rounds.
You're measured on your command phase. So at the start of my command phase, I hold more objectives than you.
Right.
And then, right. You're not going to take me off my objectives on my turn. Yeah, you're right. Okay, never mind.
So one person, so I'm guessing one of them maxed out on primaries, the other one maxed out on secondaries. The problem is when it comes down to it, one of them just still ended up with more points, of course. Wow.
Anyway, we hear about Jenny's list.
Sure.
All right. So she plays patrol of Chaos Space Marines. The Scourge is the first patrol as her legion. She has a Master of Possessions, followed by two units of five Chaos Space Marines, each with a Laz Cannon. Then a Hellforge Contemptor Dreadnought, two of those, and a unit of Obliterators. Then she rocks a second patrol of Thousand Suns, featuring Cult of Duplicity, a Demon Prince, a unit of two units of five Rubric Marines. Then she has a third detachment, I think I see the problem, of Zeech Demons, fearing Kairos Fate Weaver, a Lord of Change, two units of 10 Horrors, and a Burning Chariot. I find it interesting. I have to look at what the Burning Chariot even does anymore. But
why the Scourged?
I have to look them up again.
Give me a second. I'm doing that now. Okay, so the Scourged Renegade trait is you can reroll one hit roll for an attack made by a model and a unit each time it shoots or fights. In addition, when a unit with this trait fires Overwatch, they succeed on rolls of five.
So that explains why she put the Dreadnoughts in that. Yeah. So all those heavy weapons. Okay.
Warlord trait, at the start of each fight phase, you can pick an enemy unit within 3 inches of Warlord. That unit cannot be picked to fight in the fight phase until all other units able to fight have done so. Let's see. They've got a stratagem called Prescience for 2 CP. Use a stratagem after your opponent sets up a unit that is arriving on the battlefield set as reinforcements. Pick a Scourged Infantry unit that from your army that is within 12 inches of that enemy unit. And can immediately shoot as if it was a shooting phase. Maybe she just likes that particular Renegade chapter. But I don't really see anything that really screams I'm a good choice in that.
All I can think of is she was trying to match. If you look at Iron Hands with successor chapters, they always take the Master Artisan, I think it's called, where you get the one reroll for a lot of heavy weapons. And on their Dreadnoughts, she was just mimicking that. That's, I think, where she went with. So okay. Part of me says I would have, saved some of the command points and bring it down the two detachments and see if you can, if you really want those horrors, see if you could summon them.
Yeah.
And then you don't have Fate Weaver, but I don't know. I think I would have wanted more Rubric Marines.
Right. It's definitely an interesting choice for a list.
Yep. So anyway, she stuck it out for all six games. Never once seeing a win. And like I said, that's a tough round. First round loss, scoring 81 points and losing.
Yeah.
So my hat goes off to you. All right. So that was not the only tournaments of the weekend. That was one of the few, though, that actually hit their numbers. But there are two other ones I want to bring to attention because some notable players as well as with notable lists come to mind. The first one is Battle Survival in England, not exactly where in England. Seems rather morose that they get it with COVID-19. These are difficult times, but Battle for Survival sounds really rough. So right off the bat, the first one I look at is I see Malik Rubio only came in sixth for those of you, with Imperial Fists. So those of you who don't remember, Malik is the guy who created that super I will blow you off the table in round one list that terrified everybody at LVO. So interesting. What is he rocking for 9th edition as an encore? Interesting. He's still playing Imperial Fists. He's got a battalion featuring a captain and a tech marine. Two units of five scouts, one unit of inceptors, and three Landspeeder Tempests, and as well as a drop pod. Then he adds an agent of the Imperium. He has a Calyx Assassin. And then he brings in a Spearhead Detachment. And old habits are hard to kill, I guess, at this point. Another captain, two Rapier Carriers with quad launchers, a Thunderfire Cannon, two Relic Whirlwind Scorpiuses, and a Devastator Squad, which I'm assuming with a Grav Amp and Grav Cannons, which I'm assuming those are the ones that go into the drop pod. So just to show off how cool the Warhammer app is, I click on the app, I put Rapier, see if I can pull up some stats, because I really don't know what that does. And there it is, Rapier Carrier. That's how fast it is. 3-inch movement, so it's not winning a foot race anytime soon. Ballistic skill 3, strength 3, toughness 5, 4 wounds. That's not bad for only 20 points a model. Are you kidding me? And then he comes in, he also has a marine gunner to go with it. And quad, is that quad launcher, right? Is that what I said? It's got scatter shell, which is range 24, heavy 4, strength 8, EP minus 2, 3 damage. Well, that's rude. Oh, that gun is 45 points on top of that. Okay, that makes me feel better. Or a thunderfire shell, which is 60 inches, heavy 4d3. Strength 5, AP 0, 1 damage. And this weapon can target units not visible to the firing model. So it's indirect fire. Interesting. Interesting choices. So yeah, his list is not quite the same as it was in the past, but still has a lot of the same touches. So the top 5, without Mr. Rubio, are as follows. Thomas Wybro, playing Chaos. David Horn, spelled his name in full caps. Also playing Chaos. Thomas Dutch with Adeptus Auroratus. Manny Chima also playing. So again, one thing that has not changed from 8th to 9th edition, the inability of people to correctly identify their faction, BCP. He claims to be playing Fallen, and I got all excited, and I checked his list. It's not. It's Adeptus Astartes. But in first place, his second GT in as many weekends, Alex Harrison with Adeptus Astartes. So last week he played, and now he's got a salamander list once again. Starts with patrol. He's a successor squad. He's got long range marksman and stealthy. He's got a captain on bike and a Phobos lieutenant. Scout squad. And then in the elite squad, he's got two units of aggressors, a 5-man squad and a 3-man squad. Excuse me, 6-man squad and a 3-man squad. All with the flame storm gauntlets, which we talked about before. Fast attack slot, he's got two units of three Landspeeder Tempests. And he's got the what everybody else has got in the heavy support slot, two trios of Eradicators. He also got a Landspeeder Storm in the dedicated transport slot to cart around his scout squads, and which he's mentioned in previous interviews I've been paying attention to. He uses those to grab objectives and goes for recon quite a bit. Second detachment, same thing, Salamander Successor Squad. Primaris Captain, another Scout Squad, another Landspeeder Tempest, Devastator Squad, 5 with Grav Cannons, trio of Eradicators, another Landspeeder Storm for the Scouts, and another Drop Pod. So, ton of mobility, ton of firepower. Not a lot of bodies on the table, though. But I'd be curious, this is one of those lists I'd be curious to repoint it out now that they have 2-point Space Marines. How is he going to work that out? Oh, by the way, those who keep saying it's going to be hard to max out points. Alex Harrison, 99 points, 78 points, 94 points, 93 points, 90 points in his games. Manny Chima actually outscored him, by the way. He got 100 three times. Scored 99 points in his fifth game, but his second game he lost and he only scored 58 points. So 457 out of possible 500 points.
Wow.
Anyway, As I mentioned, he's not playing Fallen. He's playing Iron Hands. Matter of fact, he's got a captain with the Ironstone, two infiltrator squads of 5, apothecary, a blade guard veteran squad. By the way, hey, Alex Harrison didn't have those. Probably the only one who doesn't. Inceptor squad of 3. Excuse me, three. And then he has a Devastator squad of 5, a Relic of Leviathan Dreadnought, and a Drop Pod. And then the second detachment is a Spearhead featuring the Iron Father Pharos. Not one, but two trios of Blade Guard veterans, another Devastator squad of Grav Cannon and Grav Amps, and then three units of 3 Eradicator squads. That is just a lot of heavy shooting. So, first myth, people will not take multiple detachments because it costs too much. Apparently not. But every willing list had at least 2 detachments in it. It's worth it.
Well, there are some people players who are thinking... So- Sorry, there are so many players who they've just gotten used to not having a lot. I think they're willing to play with less, especially now that they get one every. I mean, look at Don. He one of his best lists, his best running list. You know, he won a tournament off of only had four whole CP. So, I mean, people aren't always necessarily looking at having maximum CP, especially if they're like, well, I never really used all that many before, so why would I have it just sitting?
You maybe still get one a turn. So, so back to that example, he started the game with four. In ninth edition, if he took the exact same list, he would actually have nine for the game. So, interesting. Last but not least, I know the Sisters players are going to be all upset with me if I don't talk about the lone Adeptus Astartes to make it to Adeptus Sororitas, I should say, that made it to the top five. And that'd be Thomas Dutch. He took Battalion of the Valor of the Glamorous Heart, featuring Celestine and the Triumph of St. Catherine. That's like the moving funeral procession. Apparently, it's a major buff bot. Three units of five sister squads, all with actually bare bones, bolter guns. Two Imaginar Fires and a Preacher, and then a Sororitas Rhino. Then the second detachment is a Vanguard detachment, this one of the Bloody Rose, and takes a Canonist, and a Magifier. Two units of 10 Sister Repentias, two units of 10 Zephyrum squads. Looks like they're all with power swords. And the fast attacks slot took two units of Seraphim squads. One of them looks like the minimum, four, five, six. Yeah, five. The other one is a unit of nine. Two more Rhinos to round out the group, probably for the Repentias to get them into split into movement. So again, movement, multiple detachments. We're still seeing those, but lots of heavy hitting. As I mentioned, this did not make only a 25 player, so this will not be officially a GT, but 25 players get some quite a few points. Alex Bedford, who finished third last week, was a no-show. Hope everything's okay. But the wooden spoon goes to Luke Henley with Adeptus Custodes. I thought Adeptus Custodes were supposed to be awesome, but no, he went 0-5 with them. Never once scoring more than 39 points. And his list looks something like this. He took a Battalion of the Dread Host. I have to review my Shield Hosts. I don't know all of them that well. He's got Trajan Valeris, who's the main character. He's got a Captain in Alaris Terminator armor. He's got one unit of Custodian Guards, two units of Secretarum Custodes. The Elite Slots, he took a unit of four Aquilan Custodians. These guys with the Power Gauntlet and the Lastrum Stormbolters. Two Contemptor Achilles Dreadnoughts. One Contemptor Galatus Dreadnought. A Vexilor Praetor. And a Telamon Heavy Dreadnought. He's got a lot of big stuff. I would not want to play this list. How did this guy go 0-5? Craziness. All right. Last tournament of note. I won't go into full details because they also did not reach their full numbers. But it's pretty cool to see something outside of Europe and America. The Tokyo Tactical Reborn. Tokyo Japan. The top five. I wish I could tell you what they are, but most of them are in foreign characters. I don't know how to read them.
Yeah, that makes it hard.
I wish I was kidding. The Tau player as well as the Tyranid player came in fifth and fourth respectively. Not using typical Western lettering, so I can't tell you how they did. But Blood Angels came in third, fielded by Masataka Oguru. Itai Uzumi played Space Wolves, came in second. And I hope this is his real name. Otherwise, this is pretty funny. Austin Powers came in first with Dark Angels.
That is so let me tell you this quick story, and might as well share it with the listeners. I used to work with a guy named Mike Myers, and he told me a story about when he went to go out to eat with his wife one day. I don't remember where. The name of his waiter was Austin Powers.
Get out. No.
Serious. And when he saw the guy the name tag and he said, "Hi, Austin Powers, I'm Mike Myers."
That is awesome. That is so cool. Well, what if Dangerous is his middle name, baby? Because his list is pretty impressive. He starts with Yes, it is a Battalion of Dark Angels. Asmodai and Azrael as his two HQ slots. Troops, he is super heavy on troops. Three units of Assault Intercessors, five-man squads. Two five-man squads of Incursors. So that's five troop slots. He's got an Aggressor squad with five guys, all with Boltstrom gauntlets, two units of three Blade Guard veterans, and a Judicar, as well as a Ravenwing apothecary. In the fast attack slot, he's got an Emsetra squad of two. In the heavy support slot, he's got three trios of Eradicators and a Lonely Impulsor to cart one of those troop slots around. That's kind of gross. So if you need to figure out a way how to kill Eradicators, that's a lesson for today, kids. Because apparently they're so good, they're even played with in Japan. Anyway, that is our tournament coverage for this week. When we come back after the break, quick wrap-up of all the news that is competitive right after this. Does your game day fare leave your fingers orange or your game table pizza stained? There is a better option. You need the Necronom Nom Nom. Yes, that's right. The cosmic horror and great cuisine become allies of convenience with this darkly humorous, gorgeously illustrated, and simple-to-use guide to insanely good food. 50 recipes arm you with breakfast, lunch, and dinner from drinks to dessert and this unique grimoire of forbidden recipes. Don't tell the Inquisition, but you can tell your friends to find it on Amazon or wherever books are sold. Brought to you by the madmen of Red Duke Games, take the pizza shop off speed dial and treat your players to something new and delicious from the Necronom Nom Nom. All right, welcome back. So as we've heard from today, the meta is starting to take shape. It takes a lot more than your usual MEQ in the future to kill off Marines, as we'll see two wound Space Marines coming in the future, as well as give the app a new try. I've been using it throughout the show here to look up things lightning fast. Right now, I get all the codices for free, but yeah, I realize that may change as new stuff comes along, but right now, lots of improvements to the app. You guys got to try it. It's pretty cool. Ray, any other takeaways from this week's action?
I don't think, no. Just, for those of you that are still out there getting games in, just remember to keep safe. The virus is still kind of passing around in some areas more than others. We really don't want this thing to have another surge.
Yeah, interesting interview with the gentleman who ran the Vanguard Tactics tournament we talked about last week. Some of the precautions they went into were extensive. Everything from every player had a mask. Players came in through an entrance. They had to, once their games were done, they had to leave through a different door as an exit and wait for the round to end. The tables were wiped down. Each player was given dice. And they had individual dice trays, and those dice were then disinfected between games. A lot of additional, so it's more than just having extra space. There was a lot of provisions made to make that event happen. Hats goes off to them. That was a lot of extra effort to make that work. And for those of you who are just grinding at the bit, going like, I want to get my chance to play, it'll come. We still have plenty of time before LVO. And remember, it's your top six scores, so plenty of time to move through. Despite those two wins, Alex Harrison still remains in 85th place because he only has three events registered so far in the ITC, so he'll be playing some little catch-up. But over that, the top 10 has not really changed at all for the ITC. So we'll have news on that later in the week. Check that out on our Facebook page. A couple more infographics to come like we had last week. So beyond that, once again, thank you for listening to this podcast. My name's Eric.
I'm Raymond.
And we'll talk to you guys next week.